they're both thoughts. Insights come in images, insights come in words. They're just thoughts. But when the thought is driven and fixated, we call it monkey mind or ordinary thinking. When some of that drivenness and fixatedness is eliminated, thought starts to flow like a river. There's a spontaneous, effortless, just happening quality to it, and those kinds of thoughts contain deep spiritual understandings. One way to work with thought is to weaken the drivenness and fixatedness. Every time you get caught in thought, bringing your awareness back to something like a mantra or a sound or whatever, so that you sort of weaken the drivenness and the fixatedness. So a lot of times people will try to focus on something, maybe a mantra, that takes them away from the thoughts. Another strategy for working with thought is to actually observe the thought. When you work with the body sensation, when you observe the body sensation, you start to feel how the awareness circulates through the body, and you get the sense that the sensations well up and subside, and wherever they're welling up, they're vibrating and changing, so that the whole body eventually feel like a jellyfish expanding and contracting, and within each of those undulations of the jellyfish are tinier little vibrations. So the whole body becomes an undulatory, vibratory field because we can experience it three-dimensionally. When you work with vision, you can do exactly the same thing. Eventually, you learn how to cover the whole visual field simultaneously with awareness, and then this whole volume of luminosity that we call vision, you start to see it wells up on the right, it subsides on the left, it becomes undulatory, it becomes vibratory. And it goes through the same melting and softening process that the body does. The same is true for the acoustic field. You hear sounds on all sides simultaneously. The volume of space that is sound starts to eventually soften. It becomes jellyfish-like, vibratory, etc. The easiest place to experience this is in the body. That's another reason why we like to start people out with the body sensations, because the body sensations are the most amenable to showing us impermanence, something I'll be talking a lot more about later on. However, one can draw an analogy by working with the body. One can draw an analogy from what happens in the body and apply it to the visual field or the hearing field. Now, what about thinking? Well, if you look at the thinking process carefully, you'll see that most thought that you're consciously aware of is internal images and internal conversations. It's a kind of subtle seeing and hearing that goes on without an external physical stimulus of light or acoustic airwaves. If you've learned how to look through the visual field with equanimity and not be attached to the forms in the visual field, then you can look through your internal thought images with equanimity. If you've learned how to listen to the total field of sound without getting fixated in the meanings of the sounds, then you can listen to the sounds of your own internal conversations as actually a volume of space, and you're detached from it, and the sound of your own voice thinking becomes just a sound expanding and contracting and vibrating. And then you become aware that underneath these obvious mental images and mental conversations is a subtle undercurrent of deep subconscious background processing, literally thousands of thoughts happening in parallel, simultaneously, the content of which we do not know and cannot know. But underlying each conscious thought is a whole bed, a root bed of subconscious thoughts. In fact, that's what the thinking process actually looks like. The conscious thoughts that come up in words and images are sort of like flowers blossoming above the earth. But underneath each one of those flowers is a big bed of roots. And if you were to look at the whole process of the plant, in time-lapse photography, if you were to like do a cutaway of the Earth, a side view, and then make it in time-lapse photography, what would you see? You would see from a seed, a bunch of roots spreading, putting forth a shoot that flowers. Then the flower fades, the roots die away. And then from another seed, roots spreading under the earth, and from that root bread, a shoot going up, a flower flowering, then fading away, then the roots more slowly dying away. This is what we would see. This is exactly what the thinking process looks like. When you can slow it down and observe it in high resolution with mindfulness, the surface of the earth would be analogous to the boundary between conscious and unconscious thought, or the conscious and the subconscious. And what happens is there is a spread in the unconscious, a spread of an associational field that's like the roots. And from that associational field, there buds out into the surface of the mind this flower of conscious thought, a thought. And then that thought dies, and the underlying root field dies more slowly. There's this constant subtle processing in addition to the obvious thoughts that we're aware of. As you sort of work through the more surface stuff, you become aware of the spreading and collapsing, the expanding and contracting, if you will, of this subtle mental processing. And you can actually observe that. And when it wants to expand, you let it expand. When it wants to contract, you let it contract. And it starts to show you its impermanent vibratory jellyfish-like quality too. Except now, you are watching, you are literally watching the unconscious. Now, by definition, the unconscious is unconscious in terms of its content. But in terms of its changing contour, in terms of its energetics, its dynamics, you can watch it in incredibly high resolution, even though you don't know what it's thinking about, because actually, you don't need to know what it's thinking about. Ultimately, you realize it's thinking about everything at once. No wonder it is said that we contain the whole universe inside of us. It's thinking about everything at once. It's just putting more emphasis on one part or another. And depending on the difference in emphasis, you get different conscious thoughts coming up. You start to watch the entire thinking mind, which is mostly unconscious, as a kind of space expanding, contracting, and vibrating, just like your body. The same process of softening, becoming more fluid, and eventually dissolving into first light, which is just very, very rapid vibrations, and then something like steam, spirit, okay? And then that whole scintillating mist, that whole vibrating field of the entire conceptual mind, the whole inner universe, has become nothing but vibrations. And then all the positive and negative gather together, respectively. There's a complete polarization. Everything that's expansive gathers, everything that is contractive gathers. It links to everything, of course, that's expansive and contractive in the entire universe, not surprising. And then those two sides of nature touch at the core of your mind, and the mind becomes zero. The thinking mind becomes zero. By an external clock, that might last for a fraction of a second or many hours, depending on the degree of insight and purification. This is true peace of mind. Just having a quiet mind is good, but it is literally the tip of the iceberg, having a quiet mind relative to what I'm now describing, which is experiencing the zero mind. Most people have limiting concepts. They have judgments. They believe they can't change because they've always been a certain way, or the world is a certain way. When you learn how to observe the thinking process, you can, of course, watch those limiting thoughts, negative thoughts, without identifying with them. I once had an interesting experience. I was interviewed for Japanese television, along with a Zen master and another American Buddhist monk. What was interesting was the person that conducted the interview was somebody I wouldn't have expected to be interested in anything like this or be doing any interviews like this. But he turned out to be a very good interviewer. His name is, and I'm not joking, this is his real name, he's Japanese, Rocky Aoki. And you probably don't know, but he is the owner of the Benihana restaurant chain. And he's somewhat of just a figure in the Japanese entertainment world. He interviewed the three of us for this Japanese television station. Of course, the interview is all in Japanese. The Zen master was a Japanese Zen master. And we talked about various things. And finally, Rocky asked, Satori to wa ittai nan desu ka? What, after all, is Satori? What, after all, is enlightenment? He asked it to me, right? So I turned to the other monk who was next to me, right? So I turned, okay, you know, you take this one, right? Because he was a bit senior to myself. Okay, and then he turned to the Roshi. So we passed it on to the master, okay? And Roshi, this was a Soto Zen Roshi, and they usually talk real slow. And he said, Satori to Satori de nai no to kubetsu ga naku naru koto de shou. I guess you could say it's the disappearance of the distinction between enlightened and non-enlightened. How does the distinction between enlightened and non-enlightened disappear? How do you know you're enlightened? Why are you convinced you're not enlightened? What sense gate does that come through? You have the thought, I'm not enlightened, it's hard to get enlightened, I'll never get enlightened, he's enlightened, he's more enlightened than this. I wonder if this one's enlightened. How many times a day does that thought, I'm not enlightened, I'll never get enlightened, come up? Very quick way to get enlightenment, have a complete experience of the conviction that you're unenlightened. So the thinking process is extremely challenging to work with. And what we like to tell people is, don't drive yourself crazy trying to work with it. If you can't, you can't, okay? You can just work with your breath, work with whatever. So one strategy for working with the thinking process is to actually focus away from the thinking process with the view of weakening the drivenness and the gripping quality of thought. As I say, the mantra technique would be an example of that. Another way to work with the thinking process is to actually observe the thinking process in the way that I just described. There are other ways besides these two of working with the thinking process. One of the most intriguing is to single out just one quality within the thinking process and try to maintain a continuous contact with that quality. And what that quality is the quality of confusion. You go to a Zen master, you have an interview, and the master says, what is the sound of one hand clapping? It's a very confusing question. You're confused about what the question means. You're confused about what the master wants you to do in response to it. You're totally disoriented and confused. Before your parents were born, show me the face you had. It disorients you intellectually to be faced with a conundrum like this. Somebody asked, What is the Buddha? Oak tree in the garden. What does that have to do with anything? It's very confusing, very disorienting. We're constantly faced with what we don't know. We're constantly faced with confusing situations. Is it this? Is it that? We're constantly faced with the fact that our mind gets stymied, brain lock. By the end of the day, we're often in a brain lock state. Our ability to think clearly can easily be impeded, interfered with, both by exhaustion. You just thought too much. You just can't think anymore. We call that brain lock. In the Christian tradition, they used to pray till their mind stopped. They called it ligature. The mind was just bound up, couldn't go anymore, stymied. If you look very carefully at the moment-by-moment thinking process, you'll see that the specter of don't know, have difficulty knowing, can't know, need to know, that entire spectrum of experiences is a kind of specter that's always haunting, a sort of sword of Damocles, constantly goading the mind to think, to get answers, to be clear. Chaos, confusion, don't know, need to know, have difficulty knowing, can't know. This whole range of experiences is related. And as I say, it is what ultimately goads the mind to get answers. One way of taking the bull by the horns, quite literally, is to establish a continuous contact with this aspect of thinking, the thing that we usually assiduously avoid in the mind, in any state of chaos, confusion, etc. Paradoxically, if we're willing to not just avoid it, but try to constantly find it present at some subtle level, and to relish every single experience in daily life that disorients us intellectually, then we can start to develop clear contact with our sense of confusion, our fundamental confusion. And once we have clear contact, we can watch the ebb and flow, how throughout the day we get more confused sometimes, less confused other times. And then we can begin to infuse equanimity into the mental event of confusion. We can just say, that's okay. I'll watch it get bigger. I'll watch it get smaller. I won't do anything in response to it. Just let it be. One is then starting to work through the direct thing that drives the mind to get answers. And this leads to two wonderful results. First, because one is working through what drives the mind can't abide comfortably in confusion usually. When one works this through, the mind is less driven, so it becomes calmer. But more importantly, when the mind needs to have answers, it gets ordinary answers. When the mind thinks without needing to have an answer, it just flows spontaneously as part of nature. When the mind flows spontaneously as part of nature without a goal to have an answer, then it is participating in the nature of nature, and the kinds of thoughts it starts to think are the wisdom insight thoughts that clarify the nature of nature. Now, what I just said may have confused you, in which case, you know what to do. A good Vipassana teacher, when you listen to their talk, you come away with crystal clarity. A good Zen teacher, when you listen to their talk, you come away totally confused, but with equanimity. Anybody can confuse you. But only a Zen master can talk and put you in a state of deep equanimity while he or she talks, with the confusion that their talk engenders, thus giving you something practical, planting the seeds for intuitive wisdom. So there's another whole strategy for dealing with the thinking mind, which is develop continuous contact and equanimity with the confusion in the mind, the don't-know mind. So that whole range of phenomena that I described, you know, the won't know, can't know, need to know, chaos, stymied, I generically refer to that as don't know mind. There's a great Korean Zen master living in the United States. They call him Sensenim. And his entire teaching is only keep don't know mind. Daigi no moto ni daigo ari, they say in Japanese. The great doubt is the basis for the great awakening. There's a lot of things that one might take as one's object of meditation. The thing one infuses mindfulness and equanimity into. Could be the breath. Could be any and all body sensations. Could be the thinking process. Could be just the confusion in the thinking process. Could be hearing. Could be seeing. Could be the entire sensory field all at once. Hearing, seeing, smelling, tasting. The feeling body and the thinking mind. All at once. Well, if you take the entire sensory field all at once, how is that different from just having a scattered mind? Well, it differs because when each one of the sense components arises, you know it clearly and you penetrate it with mindfulness and equanimity. Your awareness soaks into it like water into a sponge. Even though the mind is going to all the senses, it is experiencing samadhi instant by instant with each of the senses. Another object of meditation could be what is called in the Zen tradition genjo koan. That means your ready-made conundrum, your ready-made problem. What is your ready-made problem? Maybe you have a phobia. Maybe you have chronic pain. Maybe you have a substance abuse issue. It totally dominates your life. It becomes a convenient object for meditation. Number one, it's always there. Number two, you have to crack it if you want to live your life even as a normal person. And number three, you have a strong motivation to crack it. Some people will take as their object of meditation some issue that they can't escape from. And practice, practice, practice until they can escape into. So that's sort of a ready-made conundrum is another possible object of meditation. Of course, usually your genjo koan or ready-made conundrum only involves thoughts and feelings. In some way, it involves working with the mind and body, but more specific aspect. Another genjo koan or ready-made conundrum might be just whatever activity is at hand, whatever you're doing, washing the dishes, driving the car. You can make ordinary doings of life your object of meditation and deepen that way. One other object of meditation that is particularly good at the beginning is to take the qualities of pleasure associated with the repose of the body as it sits, and focus on those qualities of pleasure. In a previous session, I talked in some detail about how to use the relaxation and pleasure qualities that are intrinsic to the still sitting as a powerful object of meditation. Basically, the idea is whenever the whole body is simultaneously relaxed, one is in a state of equanimity. And as you now know, equanimity is an important factor in purification, transformation of the deep unconscious. Furthermore, one tries to be aware of the impermanence or the movement quality of the pleasure of the relaxation. And this gives insight into impermanence. So the object of meditation might be something very small and simple, or it might be something very large and complex. The issue is not so much what aspect of experience we focus on, or even what strategy we choose in order to develop the qualities of mindfulness and equanimity. The issue is just to do our best, both in terms of sitting practice and in terms of daily life, work in the direction of having complete experience. Complete experience is, by definition, complete. All complete experiences link us with the source and with all things. If you find yourself confused by this whole issue of technique, process, path, no path, how much effort, how little effort, you now know what to do. In that moment, have a complete experience of confusion. Now we're going to practice meditation on the thinking process itself. Take a moment to let your body settle into a comfortable position and relax your whole body and enjoy the pleasant sensations of settledness and delight. That comes from that repose. Now, bring your awareness to your thinking process, ignoring the body sensations, ignoring the sights and sounds around you. Focus exclusively on the flow of thought. At any given moment, your mind may be perfectly still without thought, or thought may be present. There are only those two possibilities. If your mind is perfectly still, good. Focus on that stillness. Merge with it, hear it tangibly, as when you go from a noisy street to a quiet room, the absence of sound is a palpable presence of peace. Hear that peacefulness moment by moment and merge with it, become it, be peace. On the other hand, if your mind is not perfectly still, that's okay too. But be aware. The thinking can take place in three different ways. Some of the thoughts may involve internal images. You see scenes, faces, situations, spatial relationships on a kind of internal screen of the mind. Some of the thinking takes the form of internal talking. You hear words, phrases, sentences, perhaps your own voice, perhaps other people's voices, perhaps a monologue, perhaps a dialogue. And you hear this talking on a kind of internal loudspeaker. A third mode of thinking is more subtle. You can't clearly say it involves images or talking, and yet you know that your mind is not peaceful, that something is moving someplace. There's activity, perhaps deep down, a background hum, a subterranean flow, a buzzing. And you may not be sure exactly what the content of that thought is, but you know something is happening someplace. For lack of a better term, we'll refer to that kind of thinking as subtle processing, or subtle for short. It may or may not be present. Continuing to enjoy the relaxation of the body, and continuing to let go of your involvement with everything but the thinking process. When you're pulled towards internal images, say to yourself, image, and observe with detachment. The images may last, or they may immediately pass away. Either is fine. Your job is to just be aware. Likewise, when you're pulled towards internal talking, say to yourself, talking, and listen to the talking. It may pass away, or it may last. And if a new sentence arises, once again, say talking, and observe. Likewise, if there's no talking or imaging, but you become aware of movement someplace in the thinking mind, say to yourself, subtle, and observe the subtle processing. Focus your awareness in that direction. And see if it speeds up or slows down. So at any given moment, with respect to your thinking process, there can only be four possibilities. Peace, talking, imaging, or subtle processing, or some combination, perhaps talking and imaging at the same time. If it's a combination, you can say talking and imaging, etc. And keep track of what mode of thought is arising moment by moment. And try as much as possible not to be involved in the meanings of the thoughts. Of course, that's very challenging. Try to just look through the images, not at them. Try to listen to the talking as sound rather than meaningful speech, like the sound of birds. sometimes it's difficult to distinguish the subtle mental processing from subtle body sensations associated with the thinking process. For our purposes, it's not necessary to make that distinction. Include any subtle activity that seems to be associated with the thinking process into your object of meditation. And yield to its qualities of movement. Continue moment by moment to be clear about the mode in which thought is arising, and to the best of your ability to also be detached and just become fascinated with how the mind moves, and less involved in what the mind means. As you do this, strong body sensations may arise from time to time. Just ignore them to the best of your ability, and observe how they cause thoughts to arise in reaction. And recycle those thoughts in terms of their talking, imaging, etc., to be the object of your meditation. Of course, working with the thinking process is very challenging. Often, you'll be aware of the talking and imaging only after it has taken place. It may seem like much of the time you're lagging behind, and that's okay, because you're making a start. In day-to-day life, there is no awareness whatsoever with respect to the thinking process. So even if you find that your noting of the thoughts is well after the fact, you're still relatively much more mindful than you would be otherwise. And just accept that fact. Let go of that for just a moment. bring your awareness to the actual sounds around you. Whatever sound may be present, loud or soft, try to hear all the sounds around you at the same time. On the right side, on the left side, and if possible, even in front, behind, above, below, try to let your awareness cover the entire volume of actual external sound and noise that is present around you. And if in a certain direction you hear no sound, then try to hear the silence in that direction. And listen to the sounds around you without regard to what is causing them, without an involvement in what they mean, but just hearing it impacting at the ears as a kind of energy. Now, let go of that. Bring your awareness to your visual field and just slightly open your eyes. But try not to look at any objects. Just let the light come in, fill your visual field, and look through things, not at them. And gradually open your eyes and see if you can have a little less involvement with the objects of vision. Try to focus at infinity. And as objects of vision call your attention, try to somewhat ignore that and focus more out into infinity and also around the periphery of your visual field so that you're just aware of a homogeneous quality of brightness filling the volume of space around you. And a little less involved in the form. It's challenging, just give it a try. Continue to do that and gradually close your eyes. And continue to just look through the visual field with detachment. And also focus on the sounds around you, hearing on all sides with detachment. Once again, focus on the thinking process. Drop your involvement with physical sights and sounds, but preserve that momentum of matter-of-factness so that when thought images come up, you can look through them. And when internal talking sounds come up, you can listen to them just as sound without a regard to meaning. So the same way that you practiced being matter of fact and detached from actual physical sights and sounds, now carry that over and see if you can relate in the same way to the internal sights and sounds of the thinking process. And if you find that the labeling, talking, image, subtle, if you find that labeling gets in the way, then drop it. And just be aware, at any given moment, is the thinking taking the form of talking, imaging, subtle processing, or some combination. And if there are moments of peacefulness, be consciously aware of that and abide in it until something arises. And if there's not much talking or imaging, see if there might not be fairly continuous, subtle movement in the mind. And if so, focus in on that and watch how it speeds up and slows down, how it spreads and shrinks. And when the mind wants to speed up, let it speed up. When it wants to slow down, let it slow down. become fascinated with the rhythms. Take refuge in the rhythms of thought rather than the content, the meaning of the thought. In other words, try, challenging though it is, to relate to the thinking process in terms of its waves and energies. As you do this, if any significant discomfort arises within your body, feel free to move, but very slowly, very silently, and keeping the continuity of your focus. And if you find that you're getting distracted, be sure to make the labels clear. At any given moment, if there's talking or imaging or subtle processing, say to yourself, talking, imaging, subtle. And if you're really having difficulty focusing, say the words out loud. On the other hand, if your focus is very clear, drop the words. And just have direct awareness. Now be aware. Associated with the thinking process may be subtle body sensations in your head and face area, particularly. Pay attention to the sensations around your eyes, at your ears, and also the sensations in your tongue and throat. Focus in those regions. And you may notice that when you have imaging thoughts, it causes some sensation, physical sensation around your eyes, perhaps a subtle tension. Likewise, when there is internal talking, you may actually feel something on the ears or feel something in the throat and tongue. There may not be such physical impact, but observe for a moment. Slightly drop your jaw and feel the relaxation there, and let that relaxation spread into your throat, tongue, ears, and around your eyes. And try to keep those areas very relaxed. And continue to pay attention. That relaxation may have some impact on the thinking process, or it might not. But try to maintain it. And keep detaching from the thought process. Look through the images. Listen to the talking as simply sound. And watch the continuous background processing as just an energy wave that increases and decreases. And from time to time, re-relax. Drop the jaw, let the relaxation spread through your face and head, going to the tongue, the throat, the ears, and the eyes. And whenever there's peace, moment by moment, become that peace. As you do this, it may happen that the talking and imaging diminishes a bit. And it may happen that the talking and imaging diminishes a bit or completely goes away, and there's mostly either peace or perhaps a sense of continuous buzzing, subtle processing, the background hum of thought. If you are aware of continuous movement deep in the mind, try not to be concerned with its meaning, but be fascinated with its motion. Be aware if that background processing speeds up or slows down. And treat it as a kind of energy field. And let the movements of that energy field massage you and take you into deeper and deeper states. And if images arise, look through them, not at them. And when they pass, continue to stay at the blank screen of the mind and be aware of the blankness, the absence of the image. Until another image appears, try to stay at that blank screen without being pulled elsewhere. And be aware of the peacefulness of the blank screen of the mind. And because you're abiding there, it will be easy to catch the images as they arise and just let them pass through without involvement. Likewise, when you're pulled to internal talking, the sound of your own voice within, listen. And when the talking stops, stay at the place of the internal loudspeaker and hear the silence. And enjoy that silence and wait there for the next speech sounds to arise. And you can catch them perhaps at the very beginning and just let them pass through. And when you're pulled to subtle processing, stay in the flow of that and watch it expand and contract, speed up and slow down as a kind of massaging energy. Now we're going to do a meditation called clarifying the sense of self.